Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's Community Radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I would like to apologize to everybody who got through our show last week. That got kind of crazy there. But also to thank our lovely guest, Patty, for being a part of that. That made it so much more fun. And how are you this morning?
I think that maybe sometimes it always is hard to get through. Sometimes it's hard to get through for us. But we are Stuff, and we are on WTBR 89.7 FM every Friday. No, every Thursday morning at 8:30.
At the wonderful WTBR.
That's right. And they're so kind to let us do this and have so much
They really
fun.
Are. Yeah.
And actually, this morning, it's so hard because we record. This morning's show that I never listened to, our show.
I listened this morning. Did you?
I didn't. I mean, I already know what it's going to be. And you know the whole thing. When you're not a radio person, you don't like your voice. So
yeah.
My husband came home and he was starting to talk about this really cool thing we could do in the snow by building these mounds and making these eye holes and putting lights in them.
Oh my gosh,
that's what we talked about on our show. So we want to do that so bad. And then I showed him the one where in the parking lot you can put a happy face on people's happy face. You put eyeballs in a mouth.
As long as the owner isn't standing by.
This is true. You're hoping that the owner wouldn't be mad at you. But that's so right up my alley to do something like that.
You've got to go to an apartment building complex someplace where all the cars are parked.
They're all parked and they're
overnight.
All facing the same way. That's the thing. They all have to be facing the same way.
And you look out the window and say, oh,
yeah,
we have an audience.
Yeah, I think that's so cute. I love that. So is anything interesting happening with you in your life in the last few days that I haven't seen you?
I went to a Christmas party, and I'm going to go to another one, and then next week I have another one, and a meeting, and
This is why we gained the weight.
That's right.
And you can't help it because you want to be polite.
Yeah, and the food is good.
And the food is good, especially if you don't have to cook it.
And it's the only way I can get a Christmas present.
Why?
Because we don't really do
Christmas.
Oh,
you don't? So did you get something? What did you do? Like a grab bag?
No, we had about 20 people come to the party, and you put presents on the table, and then you go to pick one if you answer questions right.
Aha.
But you can't open it because then she reads a poem that says right and left in it, and every time she says right, you got to pass it to the right, and eventually you end up with something.
Oh, I love that.
No, I don't.
I do. Well, we do the Yankee swap thing.
Yeah.
When
how
we
does
have
that
our
work?
Office Christmas party, so everybody brings something, and then you put numbers in a bowl, and everybody picks a number. The person with number one gets to go over and pick one gift wrapped.
Okay.
And then they sit down and they unwrap it. Number two can either steal that, now that they know what it is, or go over and pick an unknown gift.
Uh-huh.
So let's say they pick the unknown gift, they come back, they unwrap it. Number three can now pick either of the two unwrapped gifts.
Oh.
Or go pick an unknown.
That could cause war.
And it does. And onward it goes. I'll tell you, 1 year I believe we had no one steal from anyone.
Wow.
Because everyone was happy. And it's really sad when you're the person that has the gift that you brought and no one wants to steal it.
Aww.
And you're thinking, oh, gosh. And then you're thinking, I want my present back. I'm going to take that home. I'm going to use that spatula. I'm going to use that spatula every day. And you set up a monetary limit.
Yes.
And it's fun.
It is fun. It is a lot of fun.
We're actually going to the Colonial tonight. Are we going to the Colonial? Yeah, it's the Colonial to see White Christmas, the play.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's everybody has to wear a mask. You have to bring your vaccination card, you know, all that stuff. But I'm looking forward to that.
I think I lost my vaccination card.
Okay, so, you know, I do the COVID clinics, and I don't know even how to replace a card.
I don't know if it's ever come up.
Yeah.
I think I took a picture of it, though.
Well, that's good, because then if you find it in your pictures, you can print it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we are going to now go to Beverly's Corner.
And it's tight in this corner.
Cold. It's cold.
It's not cold.
Okay, what have you got us to choose from that's not real?
Okay, I have two that are not real and one that is. Number one, President Taft was so fat, they had to build a special bathtub in the White House for him that could fit three men. That's number one. Number two, the first living animal sent into space was a dog. Number three, Mickey's given name has initially been Milton Mouse.
Milton Mouse.
That's number three. One of those is true.
They all sound good.
They all sound good.
They all sound like you could make a little story out of every single one of those. A little 10-minute thing for YouTube, a little story trying to convince everyone that one of those is right. That would be clever.
To do something like that on YouTube?
To say, no, like right now, we could say something like, yes, President Taft, I remember that. I read that in a history book one time, and they had to bring in this bathtub, and it had gold handles on it. They had 14 men that had to make that bathtub, and you see? No, I guess you don't see. How rude.
Do
you know that while you were snoring, you were drooling? Did you know that? You don't know what you're doing when you're snoring. So we could make up little stories like that.
We could say that dog.
I remember that dog. His name was Looney. Get it? Looney, Lunar.
Oh, bad. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He was a real space shot.
That's a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a theme, do you?
I kind of do.
Good.
I have. You know how everybody thinks you have turkey dinner for Christmas or something like that, and I've got some other places around the world that do things differently, and also that we have different traditions that we celebrate Christmas with, and there's other places around the world that celebrate it a little bit differently.
Well, a lot differently. I celebrated the same.
You celebrated the same?
I celebrate it the same every year.
Oh.
Oh, well, yeah, sort of.
Does that not get old?
No, because it's all about my family.
Aww.
It's all about the family and being together and eating and just being together with the fam.
Well, I try to
just
avoid that.
To be with the fam. I try really hard, too, to focus on the meaning of Christmas, how it started, what it's called, why it's here, and that's very important to me.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So I have lots of interesting things. I have a mix of things. I actually pulled out my Uncle John's fully loaded 25th anniversary bathroom reader.
Don't flush.
And I... No, please do. Please do. So I thought I would read a few things out of here. There are weird bequests.
Okie doke.
Would you like to go first with your Christmas
Sure. ideas? This is Japan.
Japan?
Yeah. Christmas time is the season in Japan for KFC.
Oh my goodness.
The tradition started in the 1970s after Japan's first KFC opened and held a Christmas party barrel. Japan didn't have many Christmas traditions at the time, and this one caught on quickly. Since then, many Japanese families enjoy a meal of fried chicken at Christmas, and they often place orders with the restaurant up to 2 months in advance.
Wow. I never would have thought of that at all.
Nope. Can you see them sitting there in their kimonos and everything else with the greasy chicken coming?
I'm ashamed to say that I love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes.
I haven't had any for decades.
Yep.
They pulled it out of Pittsfield.
Why do you think?
I don't know.
Because it was so good.
It was so good, and it was always busy.
I really
don't get that, but that just is such, it's just such good chicken.
It is.
It is. Now, the interesting thing is, for us, on New Year's Eve, many times, everyone gets Chinese takeout. So we go toward the Asian food.
Really?
Oh, yes. I remember going to Debbie Wong's to pick up Chinese food, and there'd be hordes of people waiting for takeout.
Huh.
And they go toward the American food, and we go toward the Asian food for that. Isn't that interesting? They're probably thinking, oh, my gosh, they get Asian food? For
We have that every day.
Yeah, every day. So here's a weird bequest. That's hard to say those two words together.
Weird bequest. Weird bequest.
So this is called skullduggery. Now, I don't have any idea what that means, so I'm going to read on.
Well, wait.
Skullduggery.
Yes, I know. I've heard it.
You know what skullduggery is?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to read something I'm not going to like, huh?
I don't know.
Okay, here it comes.
I'm preparing myself.
Okay. In 1955, not so long ago.
Oh, please.
I'd have to say that because I was born in 1956.
Oh, well, yeah, I was there.
Not so long ago. An Argentine man named Juan Potomachi bequeathed 200,000 pesos, which is about $43,000, to the Teatro Dramatico Theater in Buenos Aires. Sounds good so far.
Sounds very good.
The catch, here we go. His skull got to play Yorick, the skull that Hamlet holds up for his soliloquy in Act 5.
Well, that's not bad.
A year later, Pochomachi's skull co-starred in a production of Hamlet.
I think that's nice.
Weird.
Well, yeah, I suppose, but...
Weird.
See, now the skullduggery that I was thinking of doesn't have anything to do with that. Skullduggery to me is like you're going underhanded and you're doing devilish stuff to other people kind of thing.
Oh, I see. But so you know in our language everything, so many words have a double meaning.
Yes.
So.
But that was a good one. That's a metaphor. Okay.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Australia and New Zealand. Pavlova.
Pavlova. Wasn't he a singer?
Pavlova.
Pavlova?
Pavlova.
Like Pavarotti?
In Australia.
Don't hate me.
In Australia and New Zealand, Christmas falls in the hot summer, which makes for a different Yuletide meal. Say that three times fast. Many Australians and New Zealanders enjoy a barbecue, salads, and seafood. Grilled prawns are a favorite.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Sounds real good to me.
Don't put anything on a barbie.
On a barbie. Love an Australian accent.
Okay.
Okay.
I used to do it.
Did you?
Used to.
Can you drum it up?
No.
I'll help you. I don't know how. I could go.
What was the program? There was a program with
Crocodile
doctors.
Dundee.
No, but Doctor something or other who always solved crimes, and he was. I got watching so much of that show that I started
you
doing
could
that.
You pick it up.
Yeah, and then now that I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyway,
I was just watching a Hallmark movie the other day, and one of the characters was had an Australian accent.
Uh-huh.
His accent was so good, I thought he was Australian.
Okay.
And it turned out that even within the movie, he was faking it, and he was actually caught faking it. He was pretending he was Australian just to be cool, but he wasn't. And then he began speaking in his regular American accent.
Oh,
and his Australian
dirty dunk.
Accent was excellent.
Wow.
Yes. So... This one is entitled Stakeout, S-T-A-K-E.
Oh, not S-T-E-A.
Like the meat.
Okay.
Harold West of London, England, died in 1972, not so long ago. He was terrified of vampires. right to the end of his life. In his will, he instructed his doctor to drive a steel stake through his heart to make sure that he is properly dead.
Oh, my word.
And in little parentheses, it says, no word on whether his wish was carried out.
Oh, my God.
This is 1972.
He needed help.
These are the kind of things you think might have happened in the 1800s. But 1972, so terrified of vampires who aren't even real.
Probably never saw anything, or he must have loved scary movies.
He must have. No, I bet he didn't. Do you know what I need right now?
A scary movie?
Mittens. I'm freezing. So here at WTBR 89.7 FM, this room stays cold because there's a lot of equipment in here.
Yes, there is.
And
it's very important.
If Bob Hack or anybody out there in the hall.
Sean, yeah, Matt.
Happens to have a blanket.
I'm about ready to give her my jacket, and I've got short sleeves. Poor thing. Put your coat on.
No, it's on my legs. It's my hands that are... It's okay. I'm good.
Wow.
I'm good.
Okay.
I want to hear more of the Christmas things. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what else you got?
It's your turn.
Oh, it is?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
A choir master invented Christmas candy canes in 1670 in Germany. That's where they started. He wanted to keep children silent during the church's living creche ceremony. The candy canes were shaped like a shepherd's crook. The stripes came later, and today millions of candy canes are sold at Christmas.
They are.
It was only the stick in your mouth to shut you up.
A lot of sticky kids. Think about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of... slurping.
And it was a silent creche ceremony?
Do you eat candy canes? If somebody gave you a candy cane, would you eat it?
No.
Me either.
I decorate with it.
I do too. You decorate with them, and then what I used to do is I would save them in the Christmas bucket from year to year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. After a while, you can't even get the paper off. They begin to change, morph.
Really?
They begin to morph. Yeah, so you really need to get new ones every year. But then what do you do with them? Because nobody really eats them.
I kind of break mine up and put it in corners where mice are, because they say that mice don't like peppermint.
Oh, is that so? Yes, I believe that's so. I think I've heard that.
And it's a nice smell.
It's a good smell, yeah. Or I guess what you could do, too, is you could crush it up and sprinkle it on ice cream. Now, you could crush it up.
Put it in a cake.
Hot cocoa.
Yeah.
I guess you could stick a can. Did that hurt your ears? My voice went up like that.
It's been worse.
You could just stick the candy cane in the cocoa. I've seen that.
Why would you want to ruin the cocoa?
Mint.
Please.
Oh, mint cocoa?
I don't even think it's real mint.
No, probably not.
Probably
high fructose corn syrup.
There you go.
All that other stuff.
Let's ruin Christmas for everybody.
Here, this one says swan song. McNair Engelfritz, that's his name.
Sure.
He's of Sedalia, Missouri.
Okay.
Must have been a small town. Died in 1953, which wasn't
that long ago.
Part of a family that owned a large hardware business, Engelfritz died unfulfilled. He wanted to be a composer.
Aww.
But never had any luck getting his work produced. So, in his will, he left the majority of his $150,000 estate to New York's Metropolitan Opera.
Okay.
On one condition.
Uh-oh.
Of course. That the world-famous opera company stage one of his works, either La Passant or Phèdre, which are the names of his...
Okay.
The Met initially accepted the offer, but after a few years changed their mind, and then they returned the money to Elgin Fritz's family dated
back. Were they
back.
That bad?
So after a few years, so did they deposit that money and maybe get some interest on it and then give the $150 back and kept the interest and the family lost the interest? And I wonder if they read the plays or whatever they were, the compositions,
yeah,
and realized these are total flops.
Well, it's a good thing they did it after he was dead.
Yeah. That's kind of creepy going against someone's wishes, but they did give the money back.
They did. Yeah. Okay. I'll mm-hmm. give them that.
Give them that.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Christmas is a very important holiday in Greece, with plenty of delicious traditional Christmas food. The most popular is a chicken and rice soup with egg yolk and lemon.
Oh, yes.
And roast lamb or pork.
No.
And then you celebrate with baklava.
Oh, that sounds great.
They have Christmas cookies made from cloves, cinnamon, and orange zest soaked in honey.
It all sounds good. I'll eat the pork.
Doesn't it? Uh-huh. It sounds very good.
The soup sounds delicious, and I'd love to right now put my hands in it. Hot soup. Hey, Jody, you're out there, too. Do you have a blanket? Pair of mittens,
you
pair of gloves.
You do realize
yes,
they're not going to hear
we're
this.
We're recorded, yeah. They're not going to. They'll hear this next week and think, well, she has no idea
poor kid. Well, maybe they'll come in and check next time and see if you still need it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Head of the class in 1826, which was very long ago.
That was a long time.
Jeremy Bentham, one of the most important philosophers in England's history, helped found the University of London. He so loved the school that he bequeathed his body to them to be dissected by an anatomy class. Uh-huh. People do that.
Yeah, I know. A friend of mine
He also requested that afterward his skeleton be put on display in a glass cabinet at the college, clothed and topped with a wax replica of his head. Upon his death in 1836, Bentham was indeed dissected and preserved. His remains now reside in a glass case at the University of London. So if you ever go to London, you can go to the university and try to find Jeremy Bentham.
And tell that him is creepy.
He said, hello.
That's creepy. But a friend of mine who died just a few years ago did that.
What?
Donated body to science.
And then wanted a wax head made of himself?
No. Huh. That didn't go that far. He did. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, thank you.
Mm-hmm,
uh-uh. mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. Julbord.
You said that so well. Do that again.
Julbord. It's from Sweden.
Sweden.
The Swedish serve up a huge feast called Julbord on Christmas Eve. You'll find a decadent buffet of cold meat, salmon, herring, Jennison's whatever, potato casserole, red beet salad, liver pate, cheese, pickles. The star is a Swedish Christmas ham. Dessert is rice pudding and saffron buns. And the Swedes consume the most candy out of any country in the world, averaging almost 16 kilograms per person per year.
Candy. In Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
If my husband were there and was offered that meal, he would starve. He would eat the ham. Not one other thing would he eat on that menu.
It doesn't sound very good.
No, it doesn't. Although I would eat...
He wouldn't eat the salmon?
Oh, yes, he would eat the salmon, unless it was pickled or had if it's got capers on it or anything like that. No,
okay.
No.
Would you?
I would eat almost all of that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know about the liver. If it's liver pate,
uh-huh.
I would try that.
Okay.
Because you can put that on a cracker, and it's not so bad. I used to make that out of chicken livers. I don't know.
Oh, I don't want to know any more about
that. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That's okay. Moving on.
This one says by the book, not B, with BY. By the book. Not by the book. Don't go out and buy the book.
Don't pay any money
for it. This is by the book. Mark Gruenwald was an editor for Marvel Comics for decades, spending most of his career working on Captain America. He died in 1996. That's just yesterday.
Yeah.
And in his will, asked that he be cremated so that his ashes could be mixed into comic book ink.
Oh.
Marvel obliged. And a little bit of Gruenwald was placed in every issue of the 4,000 copy paperback bind up of one of his final projects, which is called Squadron Supreme.
Oh, check your books, people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Check your Marvel Comics. Squadron Supreme has the blood of Mark Gruenwald in the ink.
Wow, that, I'm getting chills now. Wow.
Very creative, these people.
Wow. This one I have now is good, kinda, but it's Sochibo. It's from Russia. In Russia, most people celebrate Christmas on 7 January, not the 25th. Many others fast in the lead up to Christmas Eve and will eat when the first star has appeared in the sky. They traditionally break the fast with a wheat or rice porridge served with fruit, honey, nuts, and seeds. Sort of mucilix, I think, kind of thing. But they throw a spoonful of porridge onto the ceiling, and if it sticks...
Not in my house.
Symbolizes good luck for the family.
How many people throw it up there? The whole everybody? Or
I
just
don't
one,
know. I don't
one?
Know. Hey, I used to throw spaghetti on the ceiling to see if it stuck, and that meant it was done.
I've done that on the cabinet, kitchen cabinet, not mine. Somebody else's.
Can you see them throwing spoonfuls of porridge on the ceiling?
No. 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 Everything inside of me says no. Because no. I wouldn't even eat it to begin with. I would like to go to Russia, though, to see someone do it.
Yeah.
And da, then say, da. Good, I'm glad this is not my house. You clean it. Oh, I think you'd have to paint it because it would leave a grease spot. Now, see, my mind is running now. I'm thinking, okay, you got the porridge on the ceiling, you wipe it off, it's got an oil spot.
This is the
you
ultimate.
You can't paint over the oil spot. You have to
freak.
Use kills or you have to use something
stop,
to kill
stop.
The stick.
Calm down, breathe.
Then if you just
paint. Just breathe.
If you just paint the spot, you can't because it'll
paint
show.
Paint it as a star.
You have to paint the
pretend
entire ceiling.
Pretend you're putting little flowers on it or something.
Once know. You paint the entire ceiling, now you're going to paint your walls because the ceiling looks
good
fresh.
God, she goes on, doesn't she?
Next on my list is called Humdrum.
Okay.
A man known only as S. Sanborn was a hat maker who died in Massachusetts in 1871. He left his body to science, specifically asking that famous scientist and Harvard anatomy professor Oliver Wendell Holmes to be given access to it. Then Sanborn instructed Holmes was to turn Sanborn's skin into two drums, which he was to give to a friend. The friend was to go to Boston at dawn every June 17th, the anniversary of the Battle of Bunker Hill in the Revolutionary War, and play Yankee Doodle. Sanborn requested that the rest of his body be composted for a fertilizer to contribute to the growth of an American elm, and his wishes were carried out.
Oh, God.
So I wonder if that drum still exists and if they still do that on the 17th, drum on his skin.
I'm ready to cry.
Oh, gosh. And isn't it kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Gruesome?
Kind of conceited to think that your ashes will help grow an elm.
Oh, no. I think that's a nice thing. That's the good part of it.
But would your ashes help grow?
I'm putting mine with seeds so it'll grow
with
a
seeds.
Tree. Yeah.
Oh, I want to know where that is so I can go see.
Keep your dogs.
The flowers look
keep
like
your dogs
you.
Away.
You know what I just did, don't you?
What?
I just said that you're going before me. I'm really sorry.
I probably am.
No, You don't know.
I just went to my doctor's yesterday for a checkup. My blood pressure, 122 over 65.
Oh, amazingly good.
Is that not wonderful?
Oh, yes. Nice and calm.
I was very happy.
That's because we do this show every week.
That's what it is.
Because before we did the show, your blood pressure was sky high.
Italy. You're Italian.
My ancestors.
Yep. Panettone.
Oh, I like that.
I thought you would know what it was. Traditional Christmas foods vary throughout Italy. However, panettone is one of the most popular desserts across the country. The sweet bread, filled with chocolate, raisins, candied fruits, and nuts, weighs about a kilogram. It's placed on the table for the whole family to tear and share throughout the celebrations. It sounds to me like a fruitcake.
It's like a fruitcake, but it's not that same texture as a fruitcake. It's more of a cake.
Okay.
And I would pick out all that fruit stuff because I don't like it. I would leave all the chocolate chips.
In southern Italy, the traditional meal is the Feast of the Seven Fishes. You know about this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Families eat seven seafood dishes because there's the number seven in the Bible.
All the time, all over the place.
Like fried calamari and shrimp, mm-hmm. baked cod, mm-hmm. bacala, mm-hmm. salted cod, mm-hmm. octopus.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
Pecci. What's pecci? Pecci means
fish. It's the word fish. I don't think it's a type of fish.
Okay.
So my family never did all of that.
No?
I had one. We had a family in Lee that we would go to a couple of times on Christmas, and they would have the calamari. They would have some kind of fish. And I don't remember if that was Christmas Eve or Christmas dinner. I think it was Christmas Eve. But not all of that stuff.
That was seven?
That's a lot of
because
stuff.
Because there's a seven in the Bible?
Yeah, seven is in the Bible all over the place.
It is?
Yes, seven is repeated many, many, many times. It's a very important number. Last lap. In 1994, a Portuguese aristocrat named Luis Carlos de Nora, Cabral de Camara, that's his name, went to a registry office in Lisbon with two witnesses to lay out the terms of his will. And wills are not customary in Portugal, according to this.
Oh.
In front of the witnesses and a government official, da Câmara picked 70 names randomly out of the Lisbon phone book and made them the beneficiaries of his estate. In 2007, da Câmara died, and 70 Portuguese people got very surprising phone calls informing them that they'd inherited items from a man that they'd never met, like a 12-room apartment, a country house, a car, and 25,000 euros. Ooh. He was a good man, said one of da Câmara's neighbors, although he drank a lot. I'm sure he just wanted to create confusion, said another. That amused him.
Wow.
I'd love to be a recipient.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And now it's time for a little break.
Little bit of news.
Support for WTBR comes from the Funky Phoenix, where they're transforming art and history. Custom woodworking, custom framing, and funky fine art and home decor. For unique and custom holiday gifts, find them online at thefunkyphoenix.com.
UCP of Western Massachusetts is hiring experienced, licensed occupational, physical, and speech therapists and direct support professionals. Apply at ucpwma.org/jobs. Join the agency that's reimagined independence.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
It's a whole new way of life. Well, let's hear it.
Sorry
Hello.
About that.
Hello. We are back. We are here with our show, which is called
Stuff.
And we have an email address if you would like to email us.
Stuffingforus @gmail.com.
And we are going to have a review from my good friend, Beverly Prentice, trying to confuse our brains, trying to see which one of these is true.
President Taft was so fat, they had to build a special bathtub in the White House for him that could fit three men. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first living animal sent into space was a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey's given name has initially been Milton Mouse.
Mm-hmm. One, two, or three. Mm-hmm. One of those is true, you see. The other two are very false. And nothing rhymes with false but pulse.
You got me thinking. I'll be thinking about that all day.
And we move on.
Okey-doke.
We move on. I would like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What's the weirdest smell you have ever smelled?
Oh, the weirdest or the worst?
Well,
does it matter?
I don't think it matters.
Okay. The weirdest is probably like car oil.
Car oil?
Look.
Yeah.
Engine oil, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, too, of a smell that might be really, really bad.
B.O.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
And this has to do with?
Nothing. Just asking what's the weirdest smell.
Okay.
I think there's a weird smell when you drive your car around in the spring, I think, and your windows are open, and you're driving through the country, and all of a sudden you get this smell in your car that's something that grows outside, and I never know what it is. It's this odd, bad smell.
Foresty smell?
Of some kind of something that's growing somewhere.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. And earwax. Earwax is a bad smell.
I've never smelled earwax. Why would you smell earwax?
I don't know.
That
but
should be in Frankenstein or something.
Yeah, I would think that it would be bad. Oh, in toe jam. Toe jam would be bad.
What is toe jam?
The stuff in between your toes. That's a bad smell.
Oh, my God.
Sneakers, dirty sneakers would smell bad.
You are taking this way too far.
Yeah. Especially if you have someone in your car that's just had a burrito, and that would be not.
Oh, my. Sweden. Let's go back to Sweden. Sweden. Good Sweden.
Sweden. Who was the Swedish maid in that TV show? She was beautiful. She was blonde. And she wasn't a very good maid, but she was a. The man was a widow, I think, and she helped him with his children, and I think they ended up falling in love. It was a sitcom.
That was an old show, but I don't remember exactly.
Okay, well, you know, if anybody knows that, you can always email us.
Mm-hmm. At stuffingforus@gmail.com.
Yep.
Do you know we have Rudolph?
The red-nosed reindeer.
Yes, that's one of our symbols that we have up there. In Sweden?
Sweden?
They have a goat.
Oh, with a red nose?
No. But it's been around since 1966. Mm-hmm. The goat is a giant version of a traditional Swedish Christmas straw goat and was originally meant to attract people to shops and restaurants. It's always placed in the center of Castle Square and is the world's largest straw goat.
Is it used from year to year, I wonder?
I wonder.
Have to repair it, I would think.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe they have sprayed it, coated it with something to keep it.
How do they keep the animals from eating it?
To preserve it, right. They've got to keep. Isn't it interesting how all of these places have all these things
that are so different?
That are so different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's deriving from one single event.
Yep.
But then it went off into these tendrils. Where all these different things. It's very curious. Very
I like
curious.
That word.
Tendrils.
Tendrils. Tentacles.
Tentacles. So, If you know that when you live next door to your neighbor, sometimes tensions can rise.
Oh, yeah.
I've been very, very fortunate to not have that. But other people have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the offense.
Okay.
A 24-year-old man named Big Lou Philo liked to drive his souped-up Ford Escort at high speeds through his neighborhood in Lubsia, Poland.
Okay.
The retaliation from the neighbor?
Uh-huh.
He went out to his car one morning in May 2012, not so long ago.
Wow.
To discover that it had been hoisted 20 feet up into a tree.
He put the car in
Somebody
the tree?
Somebody did. Somebody did. None of Philo's neighbors admitted to having done it, although one did say that his crane had been borrowed. So there we know now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the retaliation of the neighbors. They hoisted his car up into a tree. I think that is hysterical.
I wonder if he was ever get it ready down and use it. I mean,
maybe he had to make an agreement.
Whoa, with the crane dealer.
With the crane dealer. That's right.
Well, he won't forget that.
He won't forget that ever.
Now, if you're not a fan of spiders.
I'm not.
Then you probably wouldn't be a fan of Ukraine's Christmas. Decorating Christmas trees with spiders and spider webs. There's a story behind it. According to Ukrainian legend, a poor widow and her children grew a Christmas tree from a pine cone, then realized they did not have anything to decorate it with. When spiders heard the children crying, they decorated the tree with beautiful webs.
Isn't that a cute little story?
The spider symbolizes good luck for the new year, so Ukrainians decorate their trees with them every year, fake ones, thankfully. But can you imagine?
I think it's a cute little story. It's kind of like the elves and the shoemaker.
Yeah,
remember story?
Yeah,
the elves came out in the middle of the night and they did all the shoes for him.
Mm-hmm.
So the spiders decorated the tree. It's a cute little story. And no, I would not put a spider on my tree. Here's another offense.
Okay.
A Polk County, Florida man wouldn't water his lawn, despite numerous requests to do so from his neighbor, Joe Florence. Well, they're in Florida, so maybe they were having a drought.
Okay.
So evidently he wasn't watering, so his lawn was probably brown, and the neighbors probably wanted all the lawns to look pretty and green.
Sure.
And they felt that he was being neglectful.
Mm-hmm.
So the retaliation?
Yeah.
Florence finally just pulled his own, Florence is the neighbor who's mad.
Yes.
His own hose over to the yard and started watering this guy's lawn. The neighbor called the police. When they arrived a few minutes later, they ordered Florence to put down the hose. He refused.
Oops,
they got some problems here.
Uh-huh.
A struggle ensued, and Florence ended up with two black eyes and numerous charges against him, including resisting arrest and trespassing. So that's a real struggle when you're watering someone's lawn for them and the police come and they tell you to stop and you don't. You got some issues here that are a little bit deeper.
Thankfully, he was using a hose. Oh, my word. How petty can we be?
I think, like I said, there's something else going on.
There's got to be something.
There's something else going on, for sure.
In the city of Caracas, it's the capital of Venezuela, there's a unique Christmas tradition, and it involves roller skating. Every year, the people of Caracas, along with some visitors, head to the Christmas morning mass on roller skates. So many people take part in this tradition that they close the streets to traffic so that everyone can get there safely. And kids go to bed with a piece of string tied around their toe, and the other end of the string hangs out a window. And as the skaters ride past, they tug on the string so the kids know it's time to get up.
What a fun thing!
That is so cool.
That is such a fun thing. I think going to church with roller skates on is just hysterical. That's a really fun thing.
Yeah.
I like that. I have to tell you quickly, I had breakfast with a a friend of mine yesterday, and she was telling me about her daughter's dog they're visiting. Mm-hmm. And this dog is just a great dog, and they love it. But this dog likes to eat socks.
Oh.
And this puppy, not even a year old, ate a sock the day before yesterday in the morning. And they brought him to the vet, uh-huh. her, to the vet.
Uh-huh.
And they did what they needed to do to get the dog to throw up the sock.
Okay.
And it came up whole.
It came up whole.
And the reason I thought of this is because you said that thing about the string.
Uh-huh.
Because my plan is to get some socks and then tie a string on each one and have a ball of twine or yarn on each one. So if she eats another one, they can pull it out. That's what I was thinking of when you
unless
said string.
She really eats all the string.
So she swallowed a sock.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Now, it was one of those socks that you wear with a sneaker.
How did she not choke?
We sat, and we must have talked about this for a half an hour.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Poor puppy.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Okay.
Right. Here's another offense.
Okay.
At 8:30 one morning in 2011, 10-year-old Lakeland, Florida boy was shooting baskets in his driveway. Next door, 48-year-old Ellen Beth Wachs was trying to sleep. She yelled out her window for the boy to be quiet, but he kept on playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid's playing basketball. What do you want to yell at this kid for? He's outside. He's having a good time. Retaliation?
Yeah.
This woman, Wachs, began making loud moaning sounds of a sexual nature. According to the boy's father, she screamed, "Oh John, oh John," over and over and over again and kept increasing the volume until it was a loud scream. Watch, not the boy, was cited for disturbing the peace. Yeah, so that was an interesting way to deal with that.
I could say so many things.
No. Let's move right along.
Okay.
I didn't pre-read my information.
Probably the most famous.
Reindeer of all.
Norwegian Christmas tradition is the Christmas tree that Norway gifts the United Kingdom every year. The tree is a token of their appreciation for the help of the UK provided Norway during World War II. Each year, the tree stands tall in Trafalgar Square in London.
Every year still.
Every year.
A gift.
Is that not nice?
I wonder how long the trip is.
From Norway or to...
Oh, they probably don't bring it. They probably have one cut there and gift it.
I don't know.
Which would be easier.
Norway gifts the United Kingdom a tree every year.
I would love to see that, wouldn't you?
I would.
Wouldn't you love to be able to just pick all of these things and just tap a little magic wand and show up
Google Earth.
For the moment? And, oh, Google Earth.
They must.
I forgot. You can look at anything.
Yeah. I wonder if you can see it.
That's a very good idea.
I got to try that.
Try that.
Mm.
Here's an offense.
Okay.
Bob Fernad of Covington, Georgia, accused his neighbor of spreading vicious lies about him. So we got some slander and some libel and what's that song? Slander, libel, something of Bible.
I don't know.
One day, so here's the retaliation. One day in 2012, the neighbor found a bag of dog doo inside his mailbox.
Ugh.
Surveillance video, You got to watch out for the cameras. They're out there.
Oh, geez.
The surveillance video showed Fernad placing it in there. He was fined. And the story made headlines because Fernad, the one who placed the poop, is the former president of CNN Headline News.
Oh, boy.
And you know, if you're going to retaliate and you're going to put a bag of poop in someone's mailbox,
don't take a picture.
to at least do a good retaliation and put it in there without the bag.
Oh,
I mean, make it a real retaliation.
Oh.
And yes, you're right. Look for the cameras, everybody.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
We just love doing our show stuff. We look forward to it every single week, and it's our therapy. And we are coming from WTBR 89.7 FM, the wonderful people who allow us to come here and have a ball.
In Finland, Catholics head to a Christmas Mass on Christmas Eve, just like they do in the U.S. One tradition they have that we don't involves porridge. On Christmas, they have a porridge for lunch made with milk and topped with cinnamon, milk, or butter. There's a hidden almond in the porridge, and whoever finds it in their bowl gets to sing a song and is thought of as the luckiest person at the table. And then they go to the sauna to relax.
Oh. Have you ever been into a sauna?
Once.
Did you like it?
No.
It was the kind with steam?
It's so freaking...
Hot. I hated it.
Couldn't breathe.
Exactly. I had to leave.
Did you ever go into one of the spas, the things that you go in the water that's, what do you call them? They're very hot.
I just did that in New Mexico.
I tried that once, and it was terrible.
No, it was in Vegas.
Yeah?
We went on a, I don't know if I told you, we went on a kayaking trip.
Yes, you did.
On the Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We went into hot springs. But the thing about the hot springs were they weren't that hot.
No?
They were hot. But not hot, so you couldn't get in them. There was one hot spring that was coming down the side of a mountain that didn't really puddle, but you touched it, and it was hot enough to cook an egg. So you couldn't go into a hot spring that was fed by that.
No.
But the hot springs that we went into
were
very comfortable and very nice.
I'd like to try that.
Yeah, it was very nice. But I'm with you with the saunas.
Yeah, no.
I couldn't breathe.
No.
It was not enjoyable. No. Mm-mm. So you, my dear... Everyone knows that you love peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Yes.
So these are some things you can do with your mayonnaise, aside from slathering it on top of the...
Peanut butter. Okay.
You can remove gum from hair. Now that's interesting.
So with mayonnaise?
I would imagine you put the mayonnaise on the hair thing, the gum, and rub it around, maybe?
Okay.
I don't want to try it.
No.
I would try it on your hair if you let me put gum in it.
It'd make it oily.
Can we try it on your hair next time? Put a piece of gum in there and...
What else you got?
Okay. You can clean your piano keys with mayo.
Get in all the cracks.
You did? Do you play?
No.
Why did
my father took an axe to it and made cabinets out of it.
With the keys or just the wood?
The whole thing.
Wouldn't that be really cool to make the cabinets and use the keys for the handles?
He wasn't that creative.
Oh, well. You can use it in your hair as conditioner.
I've heard of that, but mm-hmm. It's
a little something weird about it, huh?
It's just that it makes it oily, wouldn't it?
I would
make
think
it
so.
Very greasy.
I would want to eat a tomato or something in the shower if I was doing that. It's a psychological thing. You can polish your plant leaves.
Oh, I would say don't do that because it suffocates them.
It's true. I did hear that.
Yeah.
It clogs up all the little microscopic pores.
Just use water.
Just use some water and a rag.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can kill head lice. Why don't we try that? I'll put some lice in your hair.
I wonder if it would kill fleas on my cat.
Maybe. Look it up.
Mayonnaise?
You can get tree sap off of your car.
Well,
now,
that
have
would
you
be
ever
big.
Had that?
Yes,
that
it's not
is a,
nice.
That's a tough one. And one more, you could cool your sunburn. Now, that's interesting because you know how they say put butter on a burn?
Yeah, which you should never
do. Never do.
Mm-mm.
So I think the thing that cools a sunburn best is a cold towel.
Yes.
Just to lay it on you, lay it on the burn, and let it cool it off.
I had sunburn so bad one time I could not walk.
Oh, my gosh. You had sunburn on your feet?
My legs, my whole body. It was, the skin was so tight, I could not bend my knees. I couldn't walk.
Oh, so you got burned on the back of your legs?
I got burned everywhere.
You flipped over?
I wasn't sunning. I was playing on the beach.
Oh, and you didn't have sunscreen on.
And then we got in the car, and I put the heater on, and I couldn't figure out why it was so bad.
Oh, I can feel your pain.
It was awful.
I went to Hawaii once, and I was so good all week. And the last day, our flight was late. We were by the pool, and I put nothing on. And I, like you, it became painful later. On the plane, on the way home, I had to take off my clothes and put on a muumuu that one of the other girls with us bought. I couldn't even put the seatbelt on
in
the plane.
It hurts.
I got burned so bad. My chest was burned so bad, I went to the dermatologist. He took pictures of me because he had never seen it. My face was burned so bad, my eyes were swollen shut almost. And I had thick scabs. Want to hear more?
This sounds like the old time where somebody says, I did this. And he says, oh, well, wait, you didn't hear what I did.
No,
and then another person says, yes, and I did this. No, I'm just saying, I know
that pain where you can't bend your leg or you can't even touch your leg with a hair because it's so painful.
Put the fan on, get back.
Did you peel really bad?
Oh, it was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible.
Oh.
But it was fun pulling it off.
Oh, no.
Okay. These don't really sound all that more interesting anymore.
They don't?
Well, beetroot soup.
Beetroot soup.
Or borscht is served as a traditional starter around Christmas time in Poland. It could be served hot or cold and is usually served on Christmas Eve, which is the day most Polish people have their main feast.
Does that appeal to you?
No.
Me either.
I look at a beet and I think, why?
I like beets.
You do?
I do. But I don't know that I would like a beet soup.
They would make really nice food coloring.
They do make food coloring. Have you ever touched one after you've peeled it?
No.
It stains your hands.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the Indians used beet juice for painting.
Greg likes pickled beets.
I love pickled beets.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I'm all about pickling. I'll eat anything pickled. You ever had pickled garlic?
But you don't drink.
I don't drink. Oh. Listen to you. Look at what you did there. I was slow, but I got there. Do you have a dishwasher? I don't remember.
I do. I love it.
You can do different things with your dishwasher. You can wash so many things you didn't know you could wash in your dishwasher. You know what you can do?
I'm afraid.
You can put in small window screens. You can do your vent screens from above your stove. Pop those little vents out, the little screens, and put them in your dishwasher and run them on the hot.
I have an electric stove.
But you'll have a little fan over it.
Yeah.
The little fan has a filter.
Okay.
You can put that in the dishwasher.
Oh.
I've done
that. Okay. You have?
Uh-huh. It works.
Her eyes are about as big as saucers.
Your drip pans in your stove, you can put those in there.
But those do go in there.
Yes. Okay, good. You're one step ahead here. You can put in ashtrays. Well, we're not smokers, so we don't. But you can. You could put ashtrays in there. You can put in the non-paper vacuum filters, and you can put your sponge that you use in your sink in your dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who avoid the dishwasher for its normal purposes can get caught up on adapting it to its new purposes. You can put in non-power tools, so you can put in your screwdrivers and your hammers. You can put a hubcap and a wheel cover in there if you want to clean them. I don't know if they'd be too big.
Wow.
You can put your heat registers in the dishwasher. I don't know how you would do that. That's pretty big.
Your heat registers? Well,
yeah.
I have little ones.
Do you?
Yeah, they're about a ruler long.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
You can put your cabinet knobs and handles in the dishwasher. Now, I must warn you, I did that.
And?
All the finish came off.
Oh.
Inexpensive ceramic figurines you can put in there. Not expensive ones, because they might get ruined. Mm-hmm. And you can also put in non-electric toys from plastic dinosaurs to Barbies to teething rings, Legos, dog toys, and combs.
Look at that.
There is all the stuff you can do with your dishwasher.
Okay.
My grandparents didn't use their dishwasher. They stored things in it, and so did my uncle.
You're kidding.
They stored cookies, bread. Yeah, they did.
They hid food from you.
They hid food. They put the food in the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, duck.
Okay, duck.
Go down to the wire.
Or down to the wire.
It's going to be a thrower, Fonzie.
You have to do the other accent for me when you get it. The Swedish. No, not the Swedish. It was the Australian accent.
Oh, when I get that back, I shall show you. Mm-hmm. President Taft was so fat, they had to build a special bathtub in the White House for him that could fit three men. The first living animal sent into space was a dog. Mickey's given name has initially been Milton Mouse.
I'm going for it.
Go for it.
Milton Mouse is true. No. I thought I heard that somewhere.
I guess Mortimer Mouse.
Mortimer. I knew it was a different name than Mickey. Darn it.
So now that you have two left, which one of those would you go for?
Oh, I get to do that?
Sure.
I think that I thought the first space animal was a monkey. But that could be the tub thing. Three, he was that big. I'm going to say that the dog is true. I'm not very good at this.
The first living animals sent into space were actually fruit flies.
Fruit flies? Are they animals?
Fruit flies were sent into space on a V-2 rocket in 1947.
I don't think a fruit fly is an animal.
Well, they did.
They're insects. They're little tiny things.
But the president really was over 350 pounds.
What?
So, yeah, they had to fit a special tub, and he got stuck in one after he left the presidency and went to a hotel and couldn't get out of it. And they had to... He actually got into a bathtub one time at a party, and displacement of water was such that it dripped down on the people underneath in the other room. And the press had a field day with this, and they were not always the kindest person.
They're never the kindest. The press is never kind, and they're so rarely always right.
But they also said that he lost 70 pounds after he left office.
That's not much when you're talking about 300 pounds, but good for him. At least maybe then he wouldn't get stuck in the tub, or at least put in a walk-in shower. He was the president. Why didn't they just put in a shower?
Did they have showers then?
I don't know, but maybe that would have been a good reason to invent one to help our president of the United States stay clean so he doesn't have toe jam smell.
I can't even imagine. Have you got one more last thing?
I have one more last thing. We are stuffed. We are brought to you by WTVR 89.7 FM, and our email address is...
stuffingforus@gmail.com. Don't sue them, sue us. Views and opinions on this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.